Well, there's an obvious thread through the readings here of prayer, persistence in prayer. So I just wanted to pull out a few lessons for us in prayer. I'm going to concede, or it's a given, that all of you, as good Catholics, want to pray, recognize the importance of prayer, are aware that maybe you should probably pray a little more than you do. So I'm going to give that as all I believe that's all true, and I believe you all know that. So let's go to, okay, we want to pray. We want to pray better. What can we learn from the readings today to help us do that? To come forward, as the first reading said, the primary fruit of prayer is, we prayed in the opening prayer, conform our will to yours. Like the ultimate fruit of prayer, of any dialogue and friendship with someone we love, is so that our heart is more attuned with theirs, that there's a conformity. We have the same shape, the same form, the same goals. We come together, right? And that's what we hope for in our prayer. And primarily that we conform to God, not that God conform to us, right? Maybe that's another presumption, right? So lessons from prayer. I like in Moses and the story of Moses and Joshua, one thing, both reflect aspects of prayer. As Joshua, who engages in the battle, and Moses, who goes up to pray. Both are engaged in prayer, kind of like Martha and Mary, that story of Martha and Mary, and Mary's at Jesus' feet, and Martha's serving. Both are engaged in loving the Lord, right? And so the invitation for us in prayer, one is to be willing to persevere, engage in the battle, overcoming the natural resistance at time when we don't see our answers to our prayer, etc. But also that confidence in God, that when we put him first and pray and ask him his help, God will bless our efforts as we're engaged in battle. I was in the Bible study this week, and one of the guys pointed out something I'd never seen or thought of before. And he's like, wow, I wonder how Joshua felt when Moses said, hey, you go to battle. I'm just going to be up here on the hill. Like, I always thought Moses was the hero, but maybe. But both are true. That would be a reading of the scriptures, which is a little like critical, but both are engaged. Moses, by going up in the hill, it's not like he's avoiding risk or battle. He's reflecting one aspect that's essential to prayer, primacy of God, that only if God wills and God blesses will our efforts have fruit. And so it's necessary to have that attitude of heart while also engaging in what we're meant to do. I think there's a second point that's important about prayer, which comes from the second reading, St. Paul's letter to Timothy. St. Paul's in jail now, at the end of his life, only maybe a year, months before he is beheaded there in Rome. And he's writing to Timothy, who is a young disciple, now a bishop, someone he himself had consecrated. And he's writing a letter to Timothy, giving him advice of how to be a leader, how to be a bishop. And he tells him something very important. This is especially for our young people today. He says, remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you learned it. He appeals to himself. He's like, hey, trust what you learned, because you know who taught you that. Someone who loved you, someone who laid down his life for you, someone who cared for you, Jesus first, but also me, Paul. There is a relationship between what we believe and those we see model that faith. So we trust them. And he goes on, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures. Like, hey, you learned this from the beginning, these scriptures that you studied and learned, trust them. Be faithful to it. Hold on to that. And so my younger brothers and sisters, even as young as you are, you have a responsibility also to learn at your level, but to learn. Parents, therefore, you have a responsibility to help your children learn at their level and get them started in your example, as well as connecting them with the scriptures and good Catholic traditions and faith, so that they can build starting early on and they can trust that, because they see it modeled, that what they hear and what you teach, they see it reflected in your behavior. Not that any of us will do it perfectly, but that we are engaged in it, we want it, we desire it. So young people, take time to read the scripture. Take time to pray. Parents, help your children learn to pray by modeling it and by teaching them. And from the gospel, some bullets of bullet points on prayer from the gospel. Even though Jesus points out the example of the judge, the unjust judge, or the one who doesn't fear God or fear man, I think he's telling this story a little bit, I wouldn't say as a joke, but kind of like, you know, look at this judge. You can't be a very good judge if you neither fear God nor man. Like, if you want to be a judge, you should have a certain love for the people you're trying to bring justice to, and love for the truth that you're basing your decisions on. So this guy is, and he's like, hey, I don't fear God, I don't fear man, but this woman is just driving me crazy with her persistence, so I'm finally going to give her. He's like, he's characterizing an example of a judge who's like, not motivated by the right things, but just out of human frustration or fear. And then he's like, and this woman might strike me. It's like, it's an exaggerated example. Like, even the worst case scenario, finally he gives her justice. He's not saying God is like that just judge. He's saying, even in the worst case scenario, a judge like this will answer petitions when they're insisted. How much more, Jesus said, will your Father respond to your petitions? Like, we all know he's not like this kind of a judge. No matter what you think about God, he's not this. So no matter what, you can count on him. But what's more, he's everything I've already revealed to you. He's loving, he's patient. Remember those stories about if you come in the middle of the night and knock and ask for something, you know, what father would give a serpent who needs bread? Like, he goes, like, of course God is a loving father. He's much better than an unjust judge who's bothered by this woman and afraid. You can trust him. You can go to him. You can ask him your things. And if by chance it takes time to see the answer to your prayers, be patient. Trust. Persevere. Continue. Engage in that battle like Joshua. Engage in the battle like Moses, praying and trusting and lifting up your hands and persevering. Recently, Pope Leo talked about prayer, and I thought it was a beautiful reflection that he could. And since Pope Leo, one of the things that I think we appreciate about Pope Leo is we don't hear very much about Pope Leo, right? He's not in the news the way Francis was. You can look at that two different ways, but nonetheless, when you do engage, it's a beautiful text. And this is what he said on a Wednesday audience about prayer, referring to this gospel and a few others that are relating. He said, today's gospel goes on to describe the characteristics of God's fatherhood through vivid images, that a man who gets up in the middle of the night to assist a friend in welcoming an unexpected visitor, and that of a parent who's concerned about giving good things to his children. These images remind us that God never turns his back on us when we come to him, even if we arrive late to knock. Or like in today's, even if we're persistent, right, and need a just decision. Perhaps after mistakes, missed opportunities, failures, or even if in order to welcome us, he has to wake up his children in the middle of the night who are sleeping at home. Indeed, in the great family of the church, the Father does not hesitate to make us all participants in each of his loving gestures. The Lord always listens to us when we pray to him. If sometimes he responds in ways or at times that are difficult to understand, it is because he acts with wisdom and providence which are beyond our understanding. Even in these moments, and let us not cease to pray and pray with confidence for him, we always find light and strength. And I want to just close with one brief story that helped me appreciate the power of prayer, and I would say vicariously, because it's a story about my brother. The younger one, he's 5 years older, he went on a camping trip with the youth group, and this camping trip was specifically tailored for the more rebellious teenagers in the group, right? So my brother being one of them and his best friend Paul were separated in two canoes on this canoe trip, and both of the youth group leaders were in the boat with them, right? So you had one and one, and so they could work them, talk to them, understand what's going on with these kids and try to help them. Well, in the middle of this canoe trip going down the river, in the fall, time like this, a lot of rain had come. River was really flowing. They come around a corner, and what do they find but in front of them, a dam. Three arches, the water rushing through the dam and spinning the electric turbines to generate energy. They were allowed to be canoeing on this, but as the park system there in Ohio did a great job, there's a nice safety line that goes across so that you can, if you're get caught, you grab onto it and you pull yourself back. Unfortunately, they didn't see that safety line in time. And so the two canoes are heading towards the falls and into the turbines. In panic, the friend who's ahead with the other throws himself off and grabs onto the canoe. Miraculously, the canoe shifts and lodges against the two pillars, right? Sticks there. And they're holding on the backside. My brother does the same with this other youth group leader, jumps in the water, turns over trying to figure out a way to save themselves, and they lodge up against the other canoe. Both thinking, because they can't see anybody, they're just underneath the canoe with the rushing water, everyone else is gone. Providentially, the youth group leader had been talking to my brother about prayer and the importance of prayer, right? And so in this moment, my brother spontaneously erupts in prayer, right? God, save us, right? Save my best friend, Paul, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the other youth group leaders in there and hearing him, and they're both praying up a storm. Luckily, one of the other canoes that was behind them sees them in peril and does get off in time, grabs a lifeline, gets over, calls the paramedics, they arrive, and eventually with the help of a little helicopter, pull them out of the water and they are saved, right? So the power of prayer, my brother comes home a different man, right? Every morning I would see him praying at his bed in our shared bedroom, right? And that continued to this day. Actually, he and Paul are still good friends, and they're on the same club golf team. So that relationship was saved and continues to this day. But that impressed me very much. Hearing and seeing my brother's behavior change in high school inspired me to say, wow, there's something about this. You know, it's almost St. Paul's letter to Timothy. What you learned as a little one by watching, trust that. And so I did. I said, wow, if it worked for my older brother Keith, it must be okay for me. So once again, the importance of modeling prayer, not just for yourself, but for your children. So let's pray for that grace as we come together and pray in community. Do so with fervor, with attention, with engagement, right? Not just for your own soul, which is your first duty, save your soul, but secondly, for your brothers and sisters and those watching you. Become models of prayer, perseverant prayer that trusts in the Father that gives you all good things. Amen.